What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 4 of the Purchase Optimized podcast. We're your hosts, Dara Denny and Savannah Sanchez, and we both work with the top D2C e-commerce brands every single day on their creatives for paid social. And I myself work at the agency Thesis, and Savannah has her own creative shop called The Social Savannah. Now, last week we discussed about Facebook ads media buying, and today we're going to be talking all about TikTok ads. And there's literally no one better to discuss TikTok ads than Savannah. I've taken her course, and this thing really does take you from a beginner and an expert to an expert all inside of one place. So, Savannah, I do actually want to start off by talking about what are some of the big differences between Facebook ads and TikTok ads, because I think this is the thing that surprised me the most about your course, is that the same rules that apply to Facebook ads media buying do not necessarily apply in TikTok.
Very true. Yeah, I would say that's one of the main reasons why brands struggle with TikTok ads when they first start out, is they try to approach it the same way they do on Facebook, which when I first started media buying on TikTok back in April 2020, that's what I did too. I just took my Facebook creatives, whatever I was running on Instagram stories, and then I tried doing like optimizing for purchase, trying CBO or campaign budget optimization, trying to translate those quote unquote Power Five rules from Facebook and bring them over to TikTok ads. Yeah. And it was a flop. And I think for a lot of brands, that's when brands kind of take a step back and they're like, okay, we need an expert, or we need to take a course, figure out why TikTok ads isn't working for us. Of course, we've harped on that having the right creatives for TikTok is a huge part of that equation. But the second part of it actually is a lot more nuanced in terms of the media buying. One of the things that I think surprises people is that when you first start out on TikTok ads, it's really important to optimize for an event upper in the funnel. So for e-commerce brands, that usually means starting out by optimizing for add to cart. And the reason that is because you do have to season the pixel on TikTok for TikTok algorithm to learn who is your customer, who's going to purchase. If you try optimizing for purchase right out of the bat, you're not going to get enough purchases on your ad sets, because TikTok is going to be like, whoa, we don't even know who to serve these ads to. We're not getting enough signal. And usually the ads will just stop spending or just be really bad in terms of performance. So I always advise people start with something upper in the funnel like add to cart, because then you can at least get closer to getting 50 add to carts a week per ad set. And that will get you out of the learning phase and get you closer to getting profitable performance sooner.
So if a brand is going to start advertising with TikTok, what does that initial account structure actually look like then when you first get a brand up and running on the platform?
I always recommend to start with prospecting only, just because the retargeting match rate is really low on TikTok. So that's kind of a good thing in terms of you don't have to worry about setting up the full funnel, like having your retargeting campaign or re-engagement campaign like you may on Facebook. You're just going to have one campaign and one ad set to start. Makes it super simple. What's interesting is that campaign budget optimization does not work well on TikTok, which is so weird to me because it works so well on Facebook. I'm seeing a lot better performance using the what's it called? Like regular,
like ad set budgeting, I guess.
Yes, ad set budget controls. And so setting your budget on the ad set level instead of the campaign level. So when I start with a new client, I'll usually have one, maybe two ad sets max, where I'm layering in a lot of interest, very broad targeting, usually audiences of over 10 million people. So if it's like a makeup brand, I'm targeting like beauty, fashion, like those type of interests that have millions of people in it, like females, 18 plus. So keeping it as broad as possible so that the algorithm doesn't have too many constraints in terms of who it can't serve to. So as long as the targeting is broad and you can keep, and you can get
a little bit on my end.
Oh, okay. Well, hopefully it's still recorded. Okay.
Oh, no, all good. It says that you're still recording. So that's good. I actually want to double click into something you said about targeting though. So
okay.
If someone is getting up on TikTok ads for the first time, one campaign, one ad set, that's super simple. Does TikTok have like lookalike targeting and interest targeting like Facebook ads does then?
They do. I usually see that the interest targeting performs better than lookalikes. So when I'm starting with a new ad account, I'll just go straight for the interest and set it up that way. I have a couple of clients where now that we're spending like a couple thousand dollars a day on TikTok and we're trying to find new audiences to scale into, then we start creating lookalikes based off of people who have purchased on TikTok, people who have engaged with our posts. So you can create lookalikes similarly to how you do on Facebook, but I'm still seeing that my best performing ad sets across the board are all ones that are targeting broad interests, which makes it very easy.
Yeah. Okay. So you'd say too, then like you'd want to do like a stacked interest approach then based on like your best guess for where you think your target audience would be.
Totally. I would not recommend breaking out interests into different ad sets because it's just going to become that much more difficult to get 50 conversions a week per ad set. That 50 conversions a week number will make or break your performance on TikTok because you need to have enough signal on your ad sets in order for them to exit the learning phase and to get to optimum performance. So the trade-off between testing 10 different audiences and 10 different ad sets, that is not going to get you, first of all, it's not going to get you very good information. Really, all you're going to figure out is like, oh, this interest is better than this one. But there's so much overlap in the interest anyway that I personally don't find audience testing to be that valuable of an exercise. What I would rather do is take my best guess at like who my target customer is and stack those interests all into one ad set. So like beauty, makeup, apparel. Like these are all things that my customer could potentially be interested in. And then let TikTok find the right people within that broad audience instead of trying to micro segment them out.
Okay. So say you get a new client up on TikTok ads, you have this one campaign, you have this one ad set that has a stacked interest approach, and they get to the 50 conversions. So they had 50 add to carts, for instance. What is the next step from there?
Once I see the add to cart ad set is performing at like a stable level, we have some creatives that are working, we're consistently getting to 50 add to carts a week. So maybe this is like 2 weeks into the process. Then I'll try optimizing for the next conversion event down the funnel, which is initiate checkout. So then I will relaunch an ad set. I'll choose initiate checkout instead of add to cart and repeat that process of trying to get to 50 initiate checkouts a week. And once I'm able to get to 50 initiate checkouts a week, then I can feel confident at switching my campaign optimization over to purchase as long as I'm getting 50 purchases a week on that ad set.
So have you ever run into the scenario where you start getting purchases at add to cart and like do some people just like stay optimizing for add to cart or initiate checkout? Or do you think that it's absolutely necessary that brands follow this cadence of eventually optimizing for purchase?
No, I have clients that have successfully stayed at add to cart, and I typically see it with higher AOV products that we're seeing better success optimizing for add to cart because we're able to get a lot more pixel events on add to cart than we are purchase. It's not that we're not able to get to 50 add to carts a week, but when we try switching it over to purchase, we're having a hard time getting to 50 purchases a week. So it's better to have an ad set where you can consistently get to 50 add to carts a week and have that one running rather than trying to force optimizing for purchase and only getting like 10 or 20 a week. Usually when products are over $100, that's when I'm seeing that clients are staying optimizing for add to carts. We're still seeing purchase on the background and we're like able to validate through post-purchase surveys as well as third-party reportings that we are like profitable in terms of ROAS and are getting purchases in these add to cart campaigns. But in terms of TikTok's algorithm, we're keeping it on add to cart because with our current budget, we're able to get to 50 add to carts a week. I think it's also a function of budget. If you had an unlimited budget to spend on ads, then you could just pump that budget up to get to 50 purchases a week. But in reality, most marketing teams have a certain budget for TikTok. They're like, we only want to spend $10,000 a month on TikTok. It's a new channel for us. That's the most typical path. So then as their strategist, I'm thinking, okay, well, if our budget's 10K a month and it's going to cost us like $30 per ad to cart, I have a calculator on my course that goes through all the math of saying, okay, given your AOV, given your cost per ad to cart, this is the budget you need on your ad set per week to exit the learning phase. So I go through those calculations to find out what's going to be the best optimization event, whether it's add to cart or initiate checkout, that's going to get us that 50 per week.
Okay. And I want to talk a little bit too about attribution. I think that this is like a really hot button topic. What would you say that, like, how do a majority of your clients really approach the TikTok attribution like question? I know you mentioned post-purchase surveys, but I'd kind of like to hear like what else they're doing besides relying on in-platform data, which is wildly inaccurate.
Yeah, I usually have like the rule of thumb that whatever is in platform is probably reporting half of what the truth is. Yeah. So brands that I work with that are aiming for a $30 CPA, like a true $30 CPA, then we're seeing that translate to like $60, $70 in TikTok. So that's kind of like one of those hard, fast rules that's helped me now that I've been able to look at so many ad accounts. I've been able to see that correlation that it's typically your CPA in platform on TikTok is going to be about double than what it actually is. So that's always like a quick rule that I keep in my head just when I'm looking at ads in platform of what to kill or what to scale, as long as that CPA is like close to double, hopefully less, but that's what I can typically expect. Post-purchase surveys have been incredibly helpful. And I would say that's still my number one tool that I use to validate TikTok ad performance. Essentially what that means is if someone checks out on your website, you can have a post-purchase survey. One that I really like is called Inquire App. And essentially you're just asking people at the end of their purchase, hey, quick question, how did you hear about us? And I'll list out Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Pinterest. And people will fill out these surveys. What's interesting is that across all my clients, usually the survey completion rate is around 50%. So
yeah, that's
really high.
Also found at Thesis, it's about half. And we also use Inquire for a majority of our clients as well. And it works seamlessly with Shopify. And I definitely would recommend that too. Something else that I wanted to talk about in regards to TikTok ads is a little bit more about the creative. I think like similar to Facebook ads, like the creative is the number one piece on TikTok. Can you talk a little bit about how TikTok creatives are different from Facebook or Instagram?
Yeah, I mean, I think most obviously keeping it really native to the platform, making it not look like an ad. Shorter is usually better. So around 15 seconds has been the ideal length. I would say filmed with an iPhone is a must, using organic TikTok text overlays. So keeping it as organic to the platform as possible. Mm-hmm. I would say really important to focus on that hook. That's where I would focus all my time, is thinking about what text am I going to have on my ad in the first 3 seconds? Because that's what's going to encourage someone to either watch the full ad or not. So with a very heavy focus on the hook, problem solution, like go to the website to find out more. One thing with TikTok too, which is really interesting, is that people are really price sensitive on TikTok. Usually find, especially if you have a more expensive product, in the comments, people will be saying, this is a ripoff, this is so expensive. So keeping that in mind, if you can ever angle the ad to be about like how good of a savings this is, any deals comparatively to other brands, TikTokers really want to feel like they're getting a good deal on something. Mm. And it's almost like that social proof, especially in the comments, people are like, oh, I got such a good deal on this. Like, this is amazing. People really value like finding a good deal. So if you can incorporate price as an advantage in your ads, I've seen that work really well on TikTok.
You brought up another good point about social proof in comments. Do you ever, like, have you ever found yourself in a situation where you recommended that brands turn off the ability to like comment on their ads? It's something that we're testing out quite a bit with our clients at Thesis right now.
Yeah, I would say the comment section can be absolutely brutal.
It's gonna
depend on the product, of course, like if you're going to get more comments than others. I always recommend, if we can keep comments on, it does help with ad performance because it increases engagement. You also get that organic reach, people tagging their friends, and people do go to the comments before they go to the website to validate, like, is this bullshit? Is this good? But I would say with the caveat is, like, so you better have someone that's moderating the comments and, like, actively replying. I would not recommend to a brand just to leave comments on your ads and forget about it. Like, it's not a set and forget thing. Similar to Facebook, you need to be in there. You need to be replying to comments, potentially deleting bad comments if that's your vibe. But what's interesting, I had a client, they were getting just screwed in the comments, and I brought it up to them and I was like, hey, like, you need to be on here replying. I even recommended, like, if you can't dedicate the resources to comment moderation, we'll just turn comments off. And they're like, no, like, let me log in. I want to see what comments people have. And they actually learned a lot about their product and their price in that process in terms of what people were looking for, people's main complaints. So it could be, if used correctly, even when you do get a lot of negative comments, they use that as opportunity not only to address those pain points in the comments so that everyone who sees the ad can see all those replies too, but it also helped them realize, okay, we need to actually, instead of going to our full price product page, we should try a trial offer page where it's a much lower price. They get in on a trial price so they can, it's a beverage product, so they can try it for themselves. Mm. So it does help. It can really help figure out, like, why your ad performance may not be good, because you can really obviously see those pain points in the comments. And, like, what this brand did, they're like, okay, price is something that keeps coming up in the comments. People are like, this is ripoff, too expensive. So now we can switch our strategy and do a trial offer and get people the product much cheaper, but then they're on a subscription. And there's just so many different ways you can think about it. So I think there's a lot of valuable lessons to be had if you do leave the comments on and are actively participating in the conversations.
I'd say too, that's a really great place to find additional ideas for new ads, especially if you start to see a common thread through a lot of these ad assets, or if people tend to have the same question. That's a made for you creative strategy that you can address in another ad asset.
Totally. Especially since you can reply to the comment as, like, a new TikTok. That's something that works really well on ads, is showing the comment like in the top corner, and then the ad is addressing it. And I think that's exactly spot on. Like, if you keep seeing price, for instance, I'm seeing this one client, it's like, oh, it's so expensive, like, this is a ripoff. Then that's a really great hook. Like, I thought this was a ripoff until I tried it. Like, here's what I thought. Or I tried the $50 green juice and, like, this is what happened. So it will teach you, like, what you need to lean into in terms of the ad creatives, and also comparing to competitors. Like, if you keep seeing in the comments that people are like, oh no, you can buy this on Amazon for half price from another competitor, that could be a really good idea of, like, I tried the cheap Amazon version versus the real thing, and show, like, the product demo of, like, okay, the Amazon one's breaking, it's not working nearly as well, like, this is why you should not get the knockoff version. So you can really use it to fuel the creative strategy.
Yeah, and I'd say doubling back to the TikTok response bubble strategy, that is something that we have scaled accounts with. And it's interesting, the point that you make about TikTokers being really sensitive to price, because one of the, I worked with a food delivery brand for a while, and we actually, the creative that we got to scale the most that used this TikTok response bubble was actually referring to the price. And it was calling out smoothies that were like $16. Like, you know, you could do like a Jamba Juice and this thing's like $60. Granted, like, my old client, like, their smoothies were not cheap. They were like $6 to $8, which for like a smoothie that you also have to blend yourself is still pretty expensive. But like, when calling that out directly in that TikTok response bubble, that's the one that not only scaled on TikTok, but also on Facebook and Instagram, which is really interesting. And yeah, like, I found that generally speaking, if something is working really well on TikTok, it's so easy to transfer that to your Facebook accounts, and those tend to work just as well. It's just that flow of creative does not work always from Facebook to TikTok. I want to talk a little bit about the type of scale that you're seeing on TikTok, or like the type of spend. I think something that I commonly hear for brands is that Facebook is still king, but like TikTok is like coming up. But I've actually started to see now in some cases more recently where brands are having a little bit more success on TikTok as opposed to Facebook or Instagram. So I'd like to hear from you just like generally what you're seeing with your clients on TikTok and like the terms of what type of scale they're starting to get.
Yeah, definitely. I think the tides are turning, especially over the last couple of months. It used to be, like you said, Facebook's still king, TikTok doing well, but it's maybe 20 or 30% of our budget, and then 50% on TikTok, or 50% on Facebook, and maybe like 20% on Google. But now I'm seeing more and more brands are spending at least 50% of their budget on TikTok. Some of the top spending brands I'm working with are easily spending 10K a day on TikTok. And I think during sales times, we'll be able to scale that a lot more.
I'm so curious about Black Friday, Cyber Monday.
Me too.
TikTok, it's like last year, not many of our clients were on it. Now, even just like 7 months later, tons more clients are on it. And I think I feel like I'm going to be in that ad account way more this year on Black Friday, Cyber Monday. So I'm so curious to see like what types of scale we can get with that platform, especially since that's when all of the best, like the best value props are going to be around and the best sales. So like,
yeah, I'm excited too. I did do Black Friday sales for my clients on TikTok this last year. And what worked really well for us was just taking our best performing TikTok ads, duplicating them, and just changing the caption to like 30% off today only.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say that's an easy way of doing it, is figuring out now like what your best performers are and then using those same creatives, because they're going to have a really great hook. Like they're going to be proven ads, but then you can add in the caption of the deal. And we also experimented last year with saying like use code TikTok for 20% off. This weekend only. And that has helped with attribution of like, okay, I can go back and see how many people actually use that code TikTok and back out how many purchases came through from TikTok. So using like a TikTok specific coupon code can really help with the attribution side. And it also helps with the almost like scarcity side of when a user is on TikTok, they may think, oh, I need to purchase it right now while I'm in TikTok in order for the discount code to apply. Like it's only for TikTokers. So instead of making them think like, oh, well, I'll just go online later, they're like, oh no, I need to purchase it now and use this code TikTok.
Ah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I wonder too if we could do like a TikTok response bubble strategy. That's like people being like, hey, do you have any Black Friday, Cyber Monday sales?
Yes. Best like good deals. It's so funny. Whenever I always see that like in the top ads library, like I'll give a tip on my Twitter about like, oh, this ad's working really well. And then I see like five more come like in the next month, like utilizing the same.
I did like, that with Post-it.
That's what I do.
I made like one video about it. And then after, like, I just saw way more.
Like, I need to stop giving away these tips. Well, one interesting TikTok observation, which kind of goes against what I believe, and I think that's why it's an interesting point. I have a client that has some Facebook ads that they wanted to test on TikTok, and you and I both say like that doesn't work. It needs to look like a TikTok. It's actually one of our best performing ads right now, and it's one of those oddly satisfying graphics where it keeps looping and repeating. And I don't know if you've seen like the Calm ads, like for like the meditation app, where they're just
they're like cutting, like
sand. Yes.
Yes. I see that all the time. Nice.
Yeah. It's like the visual ASMR is like the best way I can describe it. Like it's just so, it's like a loop, and it's something really satisfying. It's usually like a motion graphic. If you look up Calm, like in the Facebook ads library, I think that's pretty much all they run is like these, like all these satisfying graphic videos. And so my client made one, like they contacted a designer I think they liked the Calm ads and were like, can you make something like this, but incorporating our product? And they sent them to me and they're like, oh, like we want to test these on TikTok. I'm like, okay, like it's not going to work in my mind. And it's actually one of our best performing ads right now. It's like this oddly satisfying motion graphics video. Goes against everything I talk about in terms of like make it look like a TikTok. Like it's like a motion graphic and it just loops on repeat for 30 seconds.
Are you using like native text overlay or anything?
No.
Or is it just the looping video?
It's just the looping video and the caption says like, get blah, blah, blah on sale now. I'm like, this isn't going to work. And it's working. So I'm like, I don't know what it means yet. But we just launched a second version and that one's already doing well too, of like this oddly satisfying motion graphic video. I would show it, but then I don't want, like I said, I don't want everyone to start doing
that. Yeah. No, we have to hold some things close to the chest.
So, but I would say if you look up Calm and you know those type of ads, it's the exact same thing, like the oddly ASMR satisfying, something squeezing, something like just chopping perfectly. And it's just weird. I'm like, this shouldn't work, but it is. So I wanted to share that little tidbit from what's working this week on TikTok. It's kind of blowing my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because like TikTok as a platform is like starting to just change so rapidly. And I think that, you know, one of their recent updates of, with like adding 10-minute videos and now they have stories. I've like wondered, okay, like, are they going to start going down the road of being a little bit more like YouTube, which, you know, for YouTube ads, like you do need a little bit more of a higher production quality because users are really used to people who invest a lot in their production on YouTube. So, you know, UGC doesn't really work over there. So like, I have also been wondering, like with that change, and I've just noticed a lot of creators too are starting to use like higher production value in their TikToks. And I'm like, man, I wonder if like that tide is going to change a little bit more. And we're sort of moving away from like grainy iPhone, like UGC. Well, not super grainy, but you know what I mean.
I know
like
what you
moving
mean.
Towards a little bit more like higher production value. So
I agree. We'll see. I think it's going to happen. When someone I know who's very like well-versed in the TikTok space has been talking about this, they're saying that TikTok is going to shift to be more like higher production value in people's feeds. They're not getting as many like filmed with the iPhone type videos as like when TikTok really boomed in 2020. It was all very like low production quality. So there's already been like a recorded shift in terms of the content on the platform is getting more higher production volume quality. I think there'll always be room for iPhone videos since most creators, especially the ones on TikTok, are creating with their phone. And so if you are running ads, like creating it with your phone and making it look super native to TikTok is still a really great way to go because the majority of the content isn't going to be super polished yet, but it will be interesting to see. Maybe it's going to become more 50-50 of like when you're going through your For You page, you're going to get a lot that's more of like I guess like a YouTube video where it's higher production quality, which is cropped for TikTok. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's so, I'm so curious about how that's going to go. And like, I have noticed that shift too. And I'm trying to like get back on my own like organic TikTok game because it's just such a good traffic driver for like my YouTube channel.
Really?
At least it used to be. So
Us. So what would you do? Would you take like your YouTube clips or would you make something specific for TikTok?
No, I'd make it something specific for TikTok. Or at least that's been my strategy to date.
Okay.
Just because I do want to create like uniquely for the platform, but I want to start experimenting with shorts. And I'm trying like something I'm trying to like research right now is. How different is a short strategy versus a TikTok strategy? And is it like, is it different? Is it not different? Is it like, are shorts just like TikTok for like mobile, like YouTube or what's the deal here? So I don't know. I think the introduction and surge of shorts though could be potentially interesting as an advertiser too. Like I wonder if more people, like if that's going to have like a different like production quality apart from TikTok and whatnot. So yeah. Well, before we close out today, I would love to hear just like any, like what are your like rapid fire, like a few like suggestions or like not hacks, but like, what do you think are things that all brands should know, like before they get on the platform?
Yeah. I always hate these because I'm like, because I don't want to go down too many rabbit holes. I also don't want to make it too broad. I would say if you are a Shopify user, which I think most of our audience is, like use like the TikTok Shopify integration to place your pixel, makes things a million times easier to track.
Yeah.
Get a post-purchase survey, like Inquire. I would say look into third-party attribution tools like Northbeam or Triple Whale. Are both really great for tracking purchases. Get some really great creative. So that's going to be something that I always harp on is getting the right creatives for your ad account. Starting with those broad audiences, testing different interests. I value optimization on TikTok has also been working really well for me. So that's something to play around with. And then ultimately playing with the offers and the landing pages. I think that's something that like the top spending TikTok advertisers are doing a lot of. When I look at my clients, is we're testing a lot of different landing pages and different offers. So very, very broad advice. But ultimately, when I think about my top spending ad accounts, they're testing a lot of creatives, testing different offers, and we're adapting quickly. Like we're launching new stuff each week. And just like I said, with the one that has like the motion graphic video, I'm like, this shouldn't work, but it is. So
yeah,
you have to continuously adapt and change your way of thinking. TikTok trends and what works changes every week. Doesn't mean you can't find creatives that are going to have longevity, but it doesn't mean that TikTok is a set and forget type thing. Like you need to constantly be thinking, what are the new creatives? What new offers are we testing? It really is a big commitment to get it right. So, those are my quick fire, I guess, hacks, not really hacks, but
yeah,
things I can think of.
Yeah. I can't underscore enough too, like having to launch new ad creatives, like almost weekly. That's what we're doing for our clients. And the ones that see the most success have that new injection of ad creative. It's the fatigue in my experience does tend to, be faster on TikTok for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And like when I think about just like how users use the platform, like they get a dopamine hit every time they are on like a new video, and like they're not there to like look for their friends' stuff. They're there to like actually consume and be entertained, like consume good content and be entertained. And if you're showing them the same video over and over again, like no one wants that.
Yeah. So, that's a bad experience, like, for sure.
Yeah. You have to reinvent the wheel.
Every week. Right, I think it's fun. I have clients I've been working with for like over a year now where we were doing two new ads for them each week, and it's like one product. So it's like every single week we're thinking like, okay, what two new ways can we talk about this product and make it interesting for TikTokers? So it's a long process and it takes a lot of creative juice. So finding the people on your team or people like Dara and I to help fuel those creative ideas, I think is one of the most difficult parts of TikTok ads, is just getting that constant flow of creatives and new ideas, especially when you're working with the same product over and over again. So that's really what I'm trying to think about each week, is like, what new angle can we take? What trends working on TikTok? What's working for other clients? And how can I make this into a brand new concept so that people are seeing new stuff and they're not just getting the same messaging slightly cut a different way every time they see an ad from us?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a really similar approach that we take too. And honestly, like your Twitter and your, like the content that you put out is very often what we are referring to about like what strategies we should try next. You really do. I feel like you just like give so much great content away on your Twitter about like which ad creatives are working for you. So keep it coming. Oh,
I'm so glad you're liking it. I feel like me and my team, we put so much effort into these creatives each week that if I don't share them, I feel like I love getting the feedback from other agencies or other brands. Like, oh, this looks so cool. We're going to do something like this. Even though there's part of me that's like, they're stealing my idea. Yeah. I know that it's not going to be the exact same, and it really helps everyone, and it helps showcase the awesome ads we're doing. And it gives me that internal satisfaction of like, no, we're doing cool shit. And other people are recognizing like, oh, this looks really good. So I think it's also part of when you work for yourself and you're kind of like on your own island, having places like social media where you can, it's almost like a company announcement or like to your team. I don't know how agencies work, but I assume you guys like share what you're working on. I don't really get that. So I have to get that external validation from other agencies and brands to tell me that I'm doing a good job. So
We do like monthly retros at Thesis, and then we also do like team specific or like team specific retros, which are really fun, like a really good source of ideas. But yeah, well, thank you so much. Today's episode was awesome. I feel like I learned a ton. Like we have quite a few clients on TikTok at Thesis, and we're scaling it up every single month. It seems like more and more, like the percentage of spend is starting to move to TikTok and away from Facebook and Instagram. So yeah, really
love
excited.
It.
And for everyone listening, you know, if you made it this far, thank you so much. And please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts. Those reviews and rating us, it really does help. It gives us really good feedback. And also like let us know what else you want to hear from us. Feel free to add us at Twitter, Social Savannah, and also Dara Denny. So we're easy to find.
Alrighty. Have a good one, guys.
Later. Bye.